Think Again with Borderlands Cooperative.
Join us for critical conversations about things that matter.
Every Friday at 10 a.m. on 3CR Community Radio, 855 AM on your dial.
And 3CR Digital, streaming live at 3cr.org.au.
So together, let's think again about important matters affecting us, like economics,
politics,
education,
health,
climate,
and what we can do about it all. Welcome to our 333 episode of Think Again, a program produced by Borderlands Cooperative, an organization working for social change for more than 28 years. I'm Jacques Boulet.
And I'm Jennifer Burrell.
We're broadcasting live from the 3CR studio on the unceded land of the Wurundjeri people of the Kulin Nation. Today we're talking about the US-Israel full-scale attack on Iran, which started on the 28th of February, and we examined some of the reasons for it.
Yeah, plus the ripples of harm and devastation spinning out from it for millions of people in the area and across the world as well. As we know, recently military assets in Iran were struck in US-Israel attacks, and members of Iran's top leadership were killed, including the Supreme Leader Ayatollah Ali Khamenei, and with his son being recently appointed to replace him, plus other members in charge, leaders being replaced as well. So Iran hit back at US military facilities and infrastructure in surrounding Gulf states, which is ongoing, and Israel has also been bombarding Lebanon, striking at Hezbollah that fired rockets into Israel. And Israel, of course, is firing on civilians and civilian infrastructure in Lebanon. And in all of this, people on the ground are the ones who suffer and millions are displaced.
And nations around the world have set up in attention as their economies are affected by Iran's effective closure of the Strait of Hormuz, halting ships carrying oil and gas from the surrounding fields. It's a tragic and still unfolding mess.
Yes, unfolding mess. So, why did the US attack Iran? It should be a very clear reason, you'd think, for such a mammoth action. But, well, the reasons given by the US have been varied and changing, to say the least. It would be funny if it wasn't really happening and so many people weren't suffering. So, these are some of the reasons that have been given. One, to disable the regime and empower the oppressed people of Iran.
Yeah, right.
Yes, which we say sarcastically, but without any strategy for regime change except to leave it to the people who don't even have the levers to do that anyway. Mm.
So the second reason was destroy Iran's nuclear power, which was supposed to have been obliterated in June 2025 strikes, mind you, but which is now a revised goal by the US, but with Israel still saying that its main aim is regime destruction.
Yeah, or sole aim even.
Yeah, that's right.
And interestingly, Pete Hegseth, the US War Secretary, said the objectives are precise. Destroy the missiles, destroy the Navy, and no nukes. So maybe they should all talk to each other.
Probably. And another reason initially offered by Trump and then retracted was that the attacks were initiated by Israel, with the US only following in its wake.
That's right, which was recently backed up by Joe Kent, who recently resigned as the director of the National Counterterrorism Center in the US. Joe Kent said, to quote, "Iran posed no imminent threat to our nation, and it is clear that we started this war due to pressure from Israel and its powerful American lobby," unquote. And with there being no imminent threat from Iran, which has been pretty well established, there can be no claim of self-defense. It's an attack. It's not self-defense. Of course, the strikes on Iran clearly are illegal under international law on that basis, not to mention the killing of Iranian leaders and officials. And Jeffrey Robertson wrote about this in The Age on the 4th of March, and I'll just tell you the title. The title of his article was, "This US-Israel Assault is a War Crime," which says it all, really.
Yeah, so we are clearly in a world of might is right, the powerful having largely dispensed with a morality fig leaf or complying with international law.
Yeah, either in fact or in appearance. Mm-hmm, yeah. So Omar El-Akkad, the writer, he expresses this sentiment in his book about Israel's war on Gaza. And I'll quote, "Rules, conventions, morals, reality itself, all exist so long as their existence is convenient to the preservation of power," mm-hmm. unquote. And that's from his book called One Day Everyone Will Have Always Been Against This, which Jacques and I both recommend.
Yes, and which I have referred to already in the previous programs anyway. Mm-hmm. And Grace Blakely, who is the very, very strong, let's call it left activist in the United Kingdom, and has written a strong book about the critique of capitalism, she adds some interesting analysis to the mix regarding Trump's reasons for joining Israel in the attack on Iran. She says it is the most recent nail to the coffin of his image, Trump's image as a peacemaker, with which he started his presidency. Mm-hmm. And rather than being a Make America Great Again sign, Trump is said to be unleashing terror abroad to disguise his weakness in his own country. Mm. He was supposed to be a deal maker and a protector and peacemaker, as I said, but an assembly of global factors, and that includes the rise of China, the persistence of domestic US inequality, just to name a few, are exposed by the boundaries of that Make America Great Again narrative.
So more and more, Trump resorts to chaotic displays of power, from Greenland to Venezuela to Iran and Cuba, while turning his back on many of his original domestic initiatives, as Grace Blakely says, so probably sowing the seeds of his own political demise.
Causing
a lot of havoc.
That's right.
In the meantime,
we have a pretty strong critique from someone high up in the American Catholic Church. The American Catholic Church.
Yeah, maybe Albanese should listen to him.
That's right, because he pretends being a Catholic too.
Yeah.
A cardinal and an archbishop, no less, and one from the United States to boot. A combination we have learned to not expect too much salutary messages from, really. So I'm talking about the US Cardinal McElroy, Catholic Archbishop of Washington, who, and I quote him, condemned unequivocally the US-Israeli war on Iran. That was according to Frank Brennan, who wrote that in Pearls and Irritations on the 17th of March. Cardinal McElroy said that, and I quote him again, "The goals and intentions of the US entering this war are absolutely unclear, and whether its benefits will outweigh the harm done." Mm. And whilst the Catholic Church gave up believing in the possibility of a just war already a few years ago, still, the Cardinal insisted that, at this present moment, the US decision to go to war against Iran fails to meet even the just war threshold for a morally legitimate war, end of quote. And he added that this war did not even come close to being a preventative war in response to an existing threat by Iran to the US. And we may add, let alone a threat to Australia. Anyway, Frank Brennan summarizes it neatly. I quote him, "This war was not authorized by the United Nations, it was not authorized by the US Congress, and it is not supported by the American people."
Yeah.
End of quote.
That's pretty clear. And it's true that Trump did not even get the go-ahead for this from his own Congress, as required by the US Constitution, as I understand it.
But now wait for it. Our government has endorsed this war.
Amazing.
Aalbo was the first Western leader, and I put leader in quotation marks, wow, to support the US-Israel attack on Iran because of Iran's assumedly developing nuclear weaponry and posing a threat to peace.
Yeah, and really how ironic, given the US and Israel have just started a war.
That's right, yes. And remember Iraq's non-existing weapons of mass destruction just a few years ago.
Yeah, also used as a pretext for war that time on Iraq. Mm. So do you think we could learn?
No, apparently not.
Mm.
Our government has joined the warfare by sending a plane and defense personnel to Saudi Arabia.
Yeah, and he said it will send, if it hasn't done already, it said we'll send aircraft and air-to-air missiles to the UAE.
United Arab, whatever they're called, Emirates. All presumably for defensive purposes. Defensive in quotation marks again.
Yeah.
And there's the three Australian soldiers on the US submarine who have been destroying an Iran vessel somewhere in the Indian Ocean.
Mm-hmm.
Shouldn't we wonder, first of all, if US-Israel are permitted to engage in an erroneously named preventative war?
And by the way, prevention isn't self-defense.
That's right, exactly. What moral or legal fact will then prevent other nations and powers to also engage in such war?
Yeah.
And what moral stance have we to criticize them, if they do?
Exactly. The example is might is right.
That's correct. And isn't Saudi Arabia, another thing to reflect on, also an authoritarian nation, beheading people who don't behave as expected, especially women? And what about their ways, Saudi Arabia's ways, of having dealt with Yemen, who had been trying to exercise their independence in the area, and Australia, which also has helped with by sending equipment there?
Mm.
And what about the Saudis killing journalist Jamal Khashoggi in 2018, cutting him into pieces to hide their crime? But of course, Iran must, of course, be more brutal than that, hey?
Yeah. And for our government to say that, quote, we are not in a position to determine the legal basis of decisions that the United States and Israel have made, which is why we have said that it is a matter for them to determine, unquote, that's pretty lame,
mm-hmm.
Really pretty lame.
Absolutely.
And we're never slow to call out violations of international law when carried out by Russia and China.
Or anyone else for that matter. Yeah.
Oh, no. We do give a free pass to our allies.
Yeah, that's right. That was what I was going to add.
Yeah, just correcting you, Jacques.
And that makes us, therefore, complicit with all the immorality the United States Archbishop, I quoted before, so eloquently unmasked in his address. Let's have a listen to a little bit of music. Say Peace by Blue King Brown. You're listening to Think Again on 3CR Community Radio on 855 AM on your dial and streaming live at 3cr.org.au. Before the music break, we were talking about the Israel-US attacks on Iran and its possible consequences.
Yeah, so why is this all happening? Or why is it coming to a head now? Why are we witnessing the collapse of even the appearance of moral underpinnings in our own decision-making, but also by so many other Western so-called democracies?
Yeah. Amy Romike is of the Australian Institute. She starts offering some explanations, and I quote her, "The Albanese government has hitched itself, seemingly unquestionably, to a US cabinet that treats the horrors of war like 14-year-olds playing Fortnite. It remains in support of Israel." End of quote.
So, like 14-year-olds playing Fortnite. That's not much of a reason, is it?
It certainly is not.
Thank you.
Remake is often continues to remind us that having supported and contributing to destabilizing the Arab world, the Albanese government, with coalition support, rushed through legislation to refuse return visas to people in countries now being made unsafe by the bombing we supported, thus blocking those people from coming back home to Australia.
Yeah.
And so Remaker says, so we are now contributing to the reasons people are unsafe and then blocking them from reaching a safe haven.
Yeah, it's disgraceful. So no responsibility at all.
Yeah, and we just learned that Israel bombed the main Iran oil field, making it a rather interesting own goal, as the queues on our petrol stations are growing longer by the day.
Mm-hmm.
So turning to the broader political context and historically better informed, Perry Wood in the Daily
New Daily.
Oh, dear. In the New Daily on the 18th of March, argued that the West can't handle the human cost of the wars it starts. Wood said, whilst we all face higher petrol prices, increasing cost of living impacts and the inconvenience of cancelled overseas flights, spare a thought for the hundreds of thousands of people across the Middle East who are the direct victims of the latest conflict. The European Union Agency for Asylum has indicated that even 10% of the Iranian population of 92 million trying to escape the country would unleash a refugee wave of unprecedented magnitude across the bloc. Iran is also host to almost 4 million migrants, including refugees from Afghanistan, and the wider region already has a refugee population of about 25 million souls.
Mm.
End of quote.
Yeah, so we're really looking at massive displacement of millions of people, destroyed homes, neighbourhoods and infrastructure, and masses of people becoming homeless refugees, as you've just been quoting Amy Remarkus from. Something largely overlooked in dominant news about prices at the bowser.
Mm-hmm.
And I should say also our migration policy mm-hmm. is always revolving around the idea that if people have a safe country to go to,
mm-hmm.
a lot of people here on, for example, temporary visas should be sent back. So we're supposed to have this idea of trying to ensure that other places are safe to go mm-hmm. to.
Mm, totally. It's just unbelievable.
Mm.
And Perry Wood, he points out that across Europe, the US and in Australia, freedom therefore means selective rather than universal freedom. And I quote him again, "The world's major powers are clearly very good at starting wars, less good at ending them, and even worse, at dealing with the humanitarian consequences of their actions. War equals displaced people. How is that equation so readily ignored?"
Indeed. Clearly, Western lives matter more than those of mostly brown-skinned people in far-off lands displaced in wars not of their own making. So that's just my slant on it. There's definitely some racism embedded in that.
That's right.
But Amy Remakis thinks we, Australians, stick with Trump and Netanyahu because that seems to be the only thing our political leadership knows to do. stick with the old ways of doing politics. Quote, pretending that coal and gas are forever, or that the US is always right, even when it's not, no matter how much the world has changed, unquote.
Yes, and we certainly are not alone in this. And I'm saying that as a Belgian Western European who remembers how after the Second World War, 19 million people from the East came to try and live in the West. So 19 million, and we actually did cope with it. So whilst everyone is worried about the rise of the fascist right in so many presumably democratic countries, the ways that a fascist way of thinking has entered politics already, that should really alarm us.
Yeah.
For example, prominent figures from the U.S. Christo-fascist nationalist movement.
Which is quite a phrase, U.S. Christo-fascist nationalist.
A strong church-based, Catholic and Christian church-based movement in the United States use that phrase all the time. They call them Christo-fascist. So such a movement explicitly advocate preemptive strikes on Iran. U.S. Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth is known for his Christian nationalist views. And U.S. Army commanders, they are telling their troops that the war is part of God's divine plan, referring to Bible passages over the end times and the returns of Jesus.
Which is nuts. And that's the U.S. Defense Secretary speaking. So that, anyway, there's a lot of religious right-wing fascism taking hold.
Absolutely. Yes, the Israeli Zionist elite, backed by Christian fundamentalists in the U.S. and even implicitly in our own country here, they seem willing to sacrifice the entire region to the Zionist project. And meanwhile, an unprecedented catastrophe unfolds with no plan to end or resolve it.
And coming back to the worldwide preoccupation with the shortage of oil from the Iran war, Eugene Doyle wrote a great article in the New Daily titled "Going for the Jugular, the Global Energy Shock is Coming." And he reminds us of how central oil is to industry and production. So he says, oil is directly and indirectly a part of every product traded. So we are weeks away from an inflationary spike in food, transport and other commodities that will transform this from geopolitical news to a kitchen table crisis, unquote. And of course, other economists like Stephen Bartholomew's in The Age have also pointed this out.
So
you wonder what we pay our governments for if there's all these experts know so much that our leaders don't seem to know.
So now with this last US-Israel attack on Iran, including its main oil fields, Professor Syed Mohammed Marandi, who is the former advisor to Iran's nuclear negotiating team, suggested that Iran does not want the global economy to suffer, most likely because it depends itself on that. But, and I quote Marandi, this is an existential threat, a war for survival. The war will be devastating, no doubt. Sitting here in Tehran, I recognize that, but it is not Iran that wants to carry out aggression. It is Trump and Netanyahu, and of course, the collective West, which supports all acts of oppression, including genocide in Gaza. So what Iran can do and will do is that it and its allies will hit as hard as possible, and it will bring down the global economy. End of quote.
And using the only real tool in its toolbox.
That's correct. And as Trump has been quite unsuccessful in mobilizing his Western partners, so-called partners, to help him keep the transport lines of oil through the Strait of Hormuz, the US will need to protect the oil convoys through that strait in its own way and with its own navy, which will invite a blizzard of drones and short-range missiles dotted across 1,000 well-hidden sites in the adjoining hills, as Doyle reports, to which some high brass members of the US Marine have responded, and I quote them again, "Trump will put our ships right in the barrel of a gun. This is just madness. This is lunacy. It just can't work." End of quote.
So no wonder other countries don't want their ships to join that turkey shoot in the narrow Strait of Hormuz, especially as they were not, as they've pointed out, were not consulted about the strikes on Iran in the first place. So meanwhile, Trump sounds increasingly hysterical in his calls for help. Help me, where are my friends?
That's right. Quite ridiculous too, yes. No wonder, though, David Wearing from the University of Sussex calls the Strait of Hormuz the jugular vein of global capitalism, also quoted by Eugene Doyle. Wearing suggests that oil is still the lifeblood of the world economy, and gas is a significant energy source too, as we all know. We know that we need to get rid of it, but still it remains so. Mm-hmm. So Wearing says global capitalism doesn't function without this stuff for long. And Eugene Doyle concludes his New Daily article saying, "The frighteningly low caliber of Western leadership is steering us all towards the rocks. A mature vassal would have the courage to warn the emperor that his actions were counterproductive. The cowering, cringing cowardice of leaders like Britain's Keir Starmer, Australia's Anthony Albanese, New Zealand's Kristen Luxon, the all-but-incoherent Emmanuel Macron, or Canada's momentarily courageous Mark Carney, they are setting their own economies up for a tremendous shock." End of quote. So
that is to be continued,
I'm sure.
What's taking place in Palestine is horrendous.
Here are some ways that you can keep yourself informed and involved.
Listen in to Palestine Remembered every Saturday morning at 9:30 a.m. or listen to the podcast. Join the APAN mailing list at apan.org.au for updates, news about actions you can get involved in, and where you can donate to provide humanitarian assistance.
Listen to other news and current affairs programs on 3CR that also cover Palestine.
The oppression of the Palestinian people has been going on for 75 years. It has to stop. You can be part of making that happen by staying informed and active.
APAN is a proud supporter of 3CR.
Thanks to all our listeners for tuning in to Think Again on 3CR Community Radio. If you want to send us any comments about today's program or suggest topics or people to interview on the program, please email Borderlands, borders@borderlands.org.au. And remember, our past programs are available by podcast on a variety of platforms and via the 3CR website at 3cr.org.au.
And meanwhile, please enjoy Milky Mana by King Stingray.
What kind of man do you think I am?
Hey, you're gonna order that!
You've been listening to a 3CR podcast produced in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.